Morning, everybody. So, Jackie left this morning to go down back to Texas because they're doing a domestic missions trip down there. 8 Days of Hope, I believe they called it. And they're going to help some folks that need to be ministered to, that need help with their housing and stuff like that. So, Jackie, our blessings upon you. We miss you, but we praise God for the work that God has put on your heart. Lift up all of those on your team, all of those traveling with you, all of those involved in this, asking for God's blessing, His direction, and that the time be very, very fruitful. That the seeds that are planted and watered bring forth fruit in people's lives. Amen. I want to talk this morning about using your talents. And I don't know if anybody saw the sign and said, huh, wonder if he's going to talk about the parable of the talents. You know, Jesus tells the story how ruler was going away, and as he left, he gave some provisions to his people. He gave one person 10 talents, he gave another 5, and he gave another 1. And he said, occupy until I come. And when he came back, the person who had had 10 talents, or in this case, talking about a measure of money, 10 talents had gained 10 more talents. And the ruler said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I will make you ruler over 10 cities. And sends him on. And then the one who had had the 5 talents had taken it and gained 5 more, and he presented it to the ruler, and the ruler said, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with little, be ruler over 5 cities, and send him on. And the one who had the 1 talent, he says, I knew you were an austere man, and you reap where you do not sow. You expect more of gain. He said, because of that, I wanted to make sure I didn't, real New English translation here, I wanted to make sure I didn't lose anything, so I hid it, and here it is. And the ruler said, you're a wicked servant. You should have at least taken it to the bank, lend it out to the bank so that I would have this plus interest. But because of that, take the one that had, take it, the 1 talent from him, and give it to the one who had 10. And him cast out into outer darkness. And we hear that, and we talk about, hear that verse talked about, and it talks about using the money and things that God has given you for God's purposes. And I get that. I understand that thought, but that's not exactly where I was going today. Using your talents is more than just using your money. Using your talents is using what God has given you. Whether it be, Bible tells us that God is the one who's given us the ability to make wealth. God has given us wisdom. That God has given one place in the Psalms. The psalmist says, God gives me the strength to make war. Whatever it is that your hand finds to do, that God is the one who has gifted us. God is the one who has given us these talents. God is the one who has given us this desire. God is the one who has given us this ability.
I'm not going to go there.
In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, beginning with verse 10, or not beginning with, chapter 9, verse 10, it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Keep in mind, in Ecclesiastes, he's somewhat blunt at times. Solomon is very, very blunt in Ecclesiastes. What he says is, whatever you are able to do, do it with gusto. Do it with all of your might, because this is the only chance you're going to have to do it. You're not going to be able to do any of the things that God has blessed you to be able to do in the grave. You only have this time on earth, however long that time happens to be, to do the things that you are able to do. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. It says in James, he who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. So if we are gifted and have the ability to do things and don't do the things that are a benefit. Don't do the things that are helpful. Don't do the things that are part of God's blessing and part of the way God made us. We are missing out. Where we're camping this weekend, the Wi-Fi is down, so I wasn't able to look up this reference. But if you listen to Robbie Zacharias often or long enough, you'll hear him tell this story several times. It's from the 1936 Olympics, and it's about the guy that the movie Chariots of Fire, or the situation where the movie Chariots of Fire was made from. And there is an Englishman who is participating in the Olympics. And he is the one who dropped out of one of the races in the Olympics because he refused to run on Sunday. Because he set the Sunday aside as precious to the Lord. But he has a statement in there where he's talking to his sister, I believe it is. And says, God has created me for India, but he has also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. It's a very interesting concept. What in Ecclesiastes, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. In James, if we know to do good and do not do it to us, it is a sin. This gentleman who went on to be a missionary to India said, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. You realize God made each and every one of us individually. Each and every one of us are unique. Even when you find people that seem to look almost just like you, you're not quite the same. If you know any identical twins, they're not really, 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 really identical when it comes down to it. Because they might be physically identical, but the ones that I've known have had a slightly different personality, and you could tell them apart because of their actions, their mannerisms. Even if you couldn't tell them apart by their looks, if you knew them, you knew they were different people. Each and every one of us is unique. And God has gifted each and every one of us in different areas. And it doesn't mean one person's giftings are greater than another's or more important than another's, especially to God. Because God has made each of us able to do certain things or with the ability to do certain things or an idea or a concept. And he's made us that way as part of his design. In Exodus 35, beginning with verse 10. Now remember, God has just given Moses all the blueprints and everything for the tabernacle. This is how you're going to build it. Remember Moses? He was raised in the courts of Pharaoh. He was raised as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then after he killed the Egyptian, he went and spent 40 years as a sheep herder, tending his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the desert. And now God has brought him back. And God says, this is how you're going to build it. I don't know about you. Somebody tells me I need to build something. You can only watch so many YouTube videos, and that's now. Back in the day, Moses didn't have that. But he had the design. He had the drawing of how it was going to be. But notice what God says starting in verse 10. All who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle, its tent, its covering, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, the ark and its poles and the mercy seat and the veil of the covering and the table of its poles, all the utensils and the showbread, the incense altar, its poles, the anointing oil, the sweet incense. I love this. The screen for the entrance to the door of the tabernacle. Let's stop right there for just a second. God is talking about all these things that are going to be built. He says, but I provided people skilled to do it. We don't think about that much these days. But as God is sitting there, he's giving the design on how he wants the ark to be built, or how he wants the tabernacle to be built and all the things that are in it. And he goes in listing to Moses all of those things, and then listing here all the things that are going to be built. He says, I've already provided artisans and skilled craftsmen to do that. Remember, quite a while back, I talked about how the Bible says, before you call, I will answer. And that revelation I got as to how God, some of the things that God had set in place, in some cases years in advance, to answer a prayer before we even ask. God has told Moses, I need you to build the tabernacle, I mean, he gave very specific instructions. And then he says, all who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded, because God had already provided that. So we talked about the screen for the door at the entrance of the tabernacle. I'll go on. Verse 16. The article for the burnt offering with its bronze grating and its poles and all its utensils and the laver and its base and the hangings of the court and its pillars and its sockets and the screen for the gate of the court and the pegs for the tabernacle and the pegs of the court and of their cords and the garments of ministry for ministering into the holy place, for the garments of Aaron the priest and the garments of his son to minister as priests. These skilled craftsmen that could weave and make garments, that could whittle pegs, that could cast bronze, that could hammer out gold. These skilled craftsmen that could do all of these things. Now, if you see somebody whittling, do you generally consider them to be a skilled craftsman? Mm-hmm. You do? Mm-hmm. If you see somebody whittling a peg about that long, do you consider that to be or the old days when that was a button? You know, it's one thing with intricate carving. They were able to create the pegs for the court and the pegs for the tabernacle. I'm thinking of watching an Amish barn raising and how they put the wood up there and they have the little hand auger screwing the hole, and they have a wooden peg that they drive in there. And I'm able to whittle this piece of wood so that it's, you know, 6 inches long and not too strangely shaped. But these are all considered craftsmen that God had gifted to do this task. God had gifted them long before. He had given them the ability, he had put the desire in their heart that they would work on that craft and that they were good at it, because God had a plan for them in the desert. They had to practice when they were still slaves in Egypt. All of these things that were set together. Dropping down to verse 30. And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge of all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works in works of gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach in him and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and designer and tapestry maker, in blue and purple and scarlet thread, in fine linen, and a weaver of those who do every work and of those who design artistic works. Scripture says that God gave them the ability to do these things and also gave them the ability to teach. Again, I say, God is the one who created us. God is the one who began working in us. And God is the one who has given us the talents and the abilities to do the things that we have. As I can't remember the guy's name from the 36 Olympics. It's like just on the fuzzy edges of my memory, and it's not coming to me yet. He said, God created me for India, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. As we do the things that God has created us to do, there is a joy and a strength and an encouragement and a fulfillment that comes in our lives as we do the things that God has called us to do. That is why people who, for whatever reason, turn their back on their dreams and turn their back on the things that they've the desires of their heart have such a frustrating life. Because God has made us with abilities. God has made us with skills. God has made us with desires. And he has a plan. And we may not recognize it. We may not see what it is. We may not know what it is. But that doesn't change the fact that God is the one who made us for his purposes. In Numbers 27, beginning with verse 18, says, and the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and come before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, at his word they shall come in. He and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. So what the Lord told Moses at this point is, set up Joshua to be the next leader. God is put his Spirit in it. God has gifted him. But as the leader of the people, your job is to encourage and to elevate the next leader. Just like in the, as we had read back in Deuteronomy, that Aholiab and Bezalel were given the ability not only to do these things, but also to teach and to share. So Moses, as the ruler of, as the leader of the congregation following God, was to not only show Joshua how to go about being a leader, caring for the people, but at the time came, he was also there to promote him. That God had been at work in Joshua, teaching him, guiding him, as well as the way that he was made, he was equipped all through his life, so that Joshua could go on and lead the people. Or Exodus, not Deuteronomy. So Joshua could go on and lead the people. Because we know that Moses did not make it into the promised land. But Joshua was set up to be the next leader. In Psalm 139, beginning with verse 13. Bible says, for you have formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw all my substance being yet unformed. And in your book are they written, are they all, in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than a number, more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. The psalmist says that God made me, that God knew everything about me, that all of the things that were going to happen in my life, the days of my life, were written in your book before ever any of them were. You think that your thoughts toward me, God, are great. And if I were to sit down and count them, there's more thoughts. You think of me more often than there are grains of the sand at the seashore. God, you're paying attention to the things that go on in my life. Nothing in my life is a mistake. Nothing in my life is an accident. Nothing in my life escaped your love, your thought, your plan. And anything that comes up, any desire, any skill, any ability that I have is something that you have given me. And because you have given it to me, you've given it with a desire to use it. And you have a plan and purpose that includes it. When the message says, use your talents, recognize that God has made you just the way you are for a purpose. When we look and we see the wickedness in this world, know that God's love and God's plan for us even accounts for people's falling, even accounts for people's sin, even accounts for the wickedness that goes on around us, even accounts for our own sin. Yet God still has a love and plan and purpose for our lives. He has made us in His image, after His likeness. He has gifted us and equipped us to do the tasks that are laid out before us. The God who sees the end from the beginning and knows everything that has happened, everything that is going to happen, is still at work in us. And He has gifted us and made us with the ability to do certain things. And when I run, I feel His pleasure. When I do the things that God has called me to do, I recognize that God is pleased. That's why God made me. As we help other people, as we encourage other people. Final passage of Scripture, Romans 11, beginning with verse 29. Says, for the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet now have obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through mercy shown to you they might also attain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience that He might have mercy on all. Oh, the depths and riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him that it should be repaid to Him? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Paul says, first off, that the gifts of and callings of God are irrevocable. King James says, without repentance. That as God has given us abilities, God has called us to do things, He's not changing His mind. He's not giving up on us. He's not saying, well, you had your shot, but I got tired of waiting. He's like, no. I've called you to do this, and you are able to do this. So many times we see our own contribution in anything as insignificant. I'm just one person. What can I do? I'm just a Flatlander in Vermont. What can I do? I'm this or I'm that. And we look at our shortcomings. But what we need to see is that God has made each and every one of us, fearfully and wonderfully made each and every one of us for His purposes. He has given us abilities. He has given us insight. He has given us wisdom. He has given us understanding. And it might not be in the same areas that other people have. And that's okay, because He's made each and every one of us different. But He has made each and every one of us with the ability to impact other people's lives. Made each and every one of us with the ability to show God's grace and God's love to somebody around us. It might be like Jackie's doing right now, going down and going off with a bunch of people to help some folks that need help with their house. I think she said they're sheetrocking and painting a whole bunch of houses in this other state. I don't know how big of a team is going, but it seems like a daunting amount of work, especially to get done in 8 days. But God has put it on their heart. They are going as a group. They're going to be a blessing. But you know what? If one person didn't go, there would be a hole, there would be something missing. Because God has made each and every one of us with giftings and talents that contribute and improve and help the people around us, that encourage the people around us. When the message is use your talents, it's use whatever God has given you, whatever ability has given you, whatever desire He has given you, in a way that brings God glory. Going back to the guy at the Olympics. Here he is in 1936 Olympics. It's in Berlin, Germany. Hitler is becoming a force in Germany, or has become a force in Germany. It's not quite the beginning of World War II. One of the things that has happened are Jews and Christians at this point are just being mocked. It's not to the point where they're being persecuted. In the Olympics, he dropped out of a race because he wanted to honor God. That's something that was seen by everyone. It was reported in all the newspapers. It was reported on the radio. You had the video clips that would show at the beginning of any silent movies. They had that kind of thing going on. He made a stand for God. He said, "When I run, I feel His pleasure." And that was what he told his sister. "God has made me fast. When I run, I feel His pleasure." And he knew that part of honoring God was showing his love for God. Seems like a crazy thing. God made him fast. So you'd think, always going out and doing the things that God has called you to do, sounds like a good plan. But God gives us wisdom too. When we use what God gives us, we should use what God gives us in ways that honor God. You hear from time to time people who, growing up, used to sing in church and so many times as they got older, they got into pop music or a different music culture that led them away from God. Still using the gifts and talents that God had given us, because the giftings and callings of God are without repentance. Using those gifts and those talents in ways that didn't honor God. And we look and see so many people that have had a lot of problems in their lives because of it. Everything we have comes from God. The very breath that we breathe is a gift from God. This next second is a gift from God. As we use the talents, as we use the things God has given us, let us use them in ways that bring glory and praise and honor to God. Because we recognize that He is the one who gave them to us in the first place. Father, we do come before You and we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that You have been a blessing in our lives, Lord, that You have gifted us and called us and created us for Your purpose and for Your praise. Lord, that You have given us abilities, given us skills. Father, that You have even worked in us through difficult times to give us perseverance and strength in the face of obstacles. Lord, You've done so much in our lives. Father, help us, Lord, that we might always, in every situation, use those gifts and those talents in ways that glorify You and ways that praise You. But Lord, that we wouldn't hide our light under a bushel. Lord, that we wouldn't shelve our talents and our abilities. But Lord, that we would submit them fully to You and for Your purposes. Father, that hearts and lives be touched and changed. We give You all the glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.